Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about an interesting scenario that could play out in the automotive market that has been mentioned by Tesla's head of investor relations. We've also got an update from Uber on their partnership with Hertz that utilizes Tesla vehicles, a couple of recalls, another government investigation into Tesla, and a couple other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, another green day for Tesla despite a down market, so the NASDAQ down 1.6% on the day. Tesla up 0.2% though to close at $225.09. Here in the after hours, we are down about 1%, of course, off the heels of a poor earnings report from Amazon. As we talked about earlier this week, sometimes those stocks can drag down other stocks that might fall into a similar bucket. And Amazon, after reporting, saw a similar drop to what we had seen from Meta, hitting down around 20%. It is recovering a bit now, but looks like they did miss earnings expectations. Revenue missed by a little bit on the top line as well. Their earnings are a little bit tricky to kind of suss out because they've always got that Rivian valuation impact affecting things. We've talked a little bit about that roller coaster for them over the last few quarters. Here in Q3, that netted them an earnings gain of $1.1 billion. Of course, that's non-cash, it's just a markup. But still, that was a little bit over a third of their $2.9 billion in net income. More importantly, though, for the fourth quarter, their guidance was soft. They're expecting 2% to 8% growth year over year and guiding for operating income between $0 and $4 billion. So kind of a wide range there, but the market not happy with this report. It's interesting to see these because these huge down 15, down 20% moves in Meta, in Amazon, there's going to be investors that are looking to get out of those stocks and maybe look for somewhere else to put their money. I don't know, maybe there is a company out there that is still growing fast. Anyway, Amazon's earnings and guidance might be a positive sign for those that are looking for some economic slowdown to slow inflation, slow interest rate increases. On the other hand, we did get the GDP preliminary report for Q3 this morning, and that did come in at 2.6% growth versus expectations of 2.3 to 2.4. So that's probably working in the other direction a little bit. Tomorrow we will get PCE, personal consumption expenditures, in the pre-market as well. Last general market comment, Apple did report today and they beat on earnings per share and revenue, although it was primarily driven by Mac, and iPhone and services revenue both came in a little bit lower than expected, so somewhat mixed, but clearly a lot better than some of the other reports we've seen this week. All right, getting into Tesla-specific items, I want to start off with an interesting chart that's been commented on by Martin Viecha, Tesla's head of investor relations. These were shared and annotated by JPR007, and it's basically just walking through the demand curves for ICE vehicles and electric vehicles over the next few years, kind of projecting it, which visualizes a topic that we've broached a little bit before, but as you can see on the second one, kind of points to this so-called valley of death. It's a little bit different than the valley of death that we might see for a startup. That's kind of the most common usage of that phrase, but a different sort of valley of death here. Anyway, what we're looking at is basically a scenario where electric vehicle demand grows to be such a big portion of the automotive market and also grows more quickly than electric vehicle supply in general can grow. Then you've got a ton of supply for internal combustion engine vehicles, but very little demand. So Martin basically saying this is a fascinating scenario to think about. What do you think? I'll share some of my thoughts. We've talked a bit about some of these things before, and we're definitely not there yet on a worldwide basis. Maybe some countries have kind of experienced this. Norway comes to mind for sure. But it's not quite as applicable because demand for a country like that can be met more easily by sourcing from a worldwide supply of EVs. And we've seen that where a lot of automakers will start off selling their EVs in Norway. So the answer is just kind of, oh, well, funnel the EVs towards that, funnel the ICE vehicles out, and no problems. But when you're talking worldwide, you don't have that solution, and that's where things get really interesting. So the simple solution here is, well, you just control the demand curve with pricing. So you add a premium onto electric vehicles, you add a discount onto ICE vehicles, and call it a day. The problem is that ICE vehicles operate at such a thin margin, especially, like we had talked about, if there is diseconomies of descaling already corroding those margins, then how do you discount even further beyond that? Well, you can't really do that. And then you've got to have supply removed. And to have supply removed, you probably have to have companies consolidate, go out of business, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's kind of the general thesis I've had on the automotive market more broadly for a long time. Plus, what you've got to deal with for these other automakers is not only the descaling hitting their economics, if they want to somehow make it to the other side, they've also got to be simultaneously investing in electric vehicles and probably losing money on those ventures. Plus autonomy, right? Like we just talked about how Cruise lost GM $500 million last quarter, Ford writing off $2+ billion for Argo. It sounds great in the PowerPoints when they talk about all these investments they're going to make and all the returns those are going to generate. What they don't talk about in those PowerPoints is how their ICE vehicle business, which is generating all of their profits right now, is going to completely collapse during that period of time. So I fully agree that this is a fascinating scenario. I think it's gotten a little bit out of mind as of late due to just general supply constraints in the market, which can cover for any signs of demand collapsing for ICE vehicles for now. But it's kind of like the demand pockets concept that we talk about. Like, that demand pocket has been covered for a period of time. However, none of that is going to change the longer downward trajectory for ICE demand. It probably just makes what would have been a smoother downward curve a lot more bumpy, more volatile, which has interesting implications because if we assume that right now we're at some plateau or seeming increase of ICE demand, if we're still on that same curve, then at some point that's got to come back and even out with what may appear to be a very sharp drop. So it's one of the reasons I was very fascinated by GM's inventory. And if we see early signs of that supply and demand curve for ICE vehicles getting back in balance, then that might mean we're on the precipice of some sharp decline. So again, that's all speculative, but it's fascinating to think about. And I think once that decline starts to happen, it's going to happen a lot more quickly than what most people expect. Probably the final point that I would add on to that too is that a lot of the automotive industry is supported by financing, right? A portion of that through leases, a portion of that through loans. Both of those financial products are supported by the concept of residual value. If the residual value assumptions for ICE vehicles start to decline rapidly, that changes the assumptions and fundamental structure of those financial products that are supporting the industry. Those products make monthly payments more affordable. So what we just talked about, where you have to balance supply and demand with pricing, but you're already up against the headwinds of thin margins, of losing your economies of scale, and then these financial products that support those lower prices can no longer do that to the same degree. And oh, by the way, while you're facing all of that, you've got to compete with Tesla. I mean, good luck. All right, let's move on to some of the other topics here. We've got a report from an analyst at Uber, which shares a little bit more information on how the partnership with Hertz, which utilizes Tesla vehicles, of course, is going. So the latest stats from this report, Tesla vehicles through Hertz used by Uber drivers have now completed over 5 million trips, traveled more than 40 million electric miles in over 30 different US markets. And as of August 1st, about 20,000 metric tons of CO2 emissions have been avoided. Uber says that's about 2.1 million gallons of gasoline. So although not a lot of financial details here, still nice to hear some information about how those business models are going. All right, next we've got a couple of recall updates. The first is an actual hardware recall, so not an over-the-air update like we're seemingly usually talking about with these. But Tesla's issued a recall for about 24,000 Model 3s produced from 2017 to 2022. And interesting for this case, not a result of a manufacturing deficiency. However, something that may have been done in service would be requiring this recall. So Tesla says servicing certain components in Model 3 vehicles requires disassembly of the second row left seat belt buckle and center seat belt anchor, both of which are fastened with the same bolt. Both components may have been incorrectly reassembled after disassembly during a service action. So Tesla not aware of any injuries or anything that has resulted from this, but for those 24,000 vehicles that Tesla's identified through service records, wanting to take a look at that and make sure everything has been reassembled correctly. Now, the other recall that we've got, also very interesting, this is actually on the CyberQuad ATV for kids. Now, of course, Tesla doesn't actually make this. This is produced by Radio Flyer, and Radio Flyer has issued a recall on this because apparently the CyberQuad fails to comply with federal mandated safety standard requirements for youth ATVs, including mechanical suspension and maximum tire pressure. Apparently, it also lacks the Consumer Product Safety Commission's ATV Action Plan, which has safety requirements such as rider training, dissemination of safety information, age recommendations, other safety measures, and is required for manufacturer importing, selling, or distributing ATVs in the US. Now, I'm assuming Radio Flyer assumed that this would not fall into the ATV category. However, that seems to be what the case is. So this truly is a recall in the most basic sense of the word. Radio Flyer is offering a full refund for the product as the only solution for this recall. Now, of course, users can just keep it and not follow through with the recall. There's no mandate that anyone has to return anything. If you want to follow through with the recall, you just return the motor controller, which the vehicle will no longer function without. So because of that, you don't need an original receipt or anything. If you bought it secondhand, you can still do that. But yeah, definitely interesting to see. I would imagine this is more on Radio Flyer than Tesla. As far as I know, according to Radio Flyer's website, Tesla just helped with the visual design. Obviously not significant financially either way, but we probably will not be seeing the CyberQuad for kids being sold anymore. Also kind of interesting on this, the Consumer Product Safety Commission says that this recall is for about 5,000 units, which I'm not sure we really knew the exact number of these that had been sold before. With the roughly $2,000 selling price, that would be about $10 million in revenue. All right, next up, we had talked yesterday about how the Department of Justice has apparently been investigating Tesla on the marketing behind full self-driving for the last year. Apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal today, this is a separate report. The Wall Street Journal saying that the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, is also conducting a similar civil investigation, according to people familiar with the matter. Sure seems like they could be spending their time doing something that is more within their wheelhouse. We've already got apparently NHTSA looking at this, apparently the Department of Justice looking at this, but that's not enough. Let's throw the SEC on there too to figure out if consumers are incapable of understanding something that is very simple to understand and is laid out in very plain language across the buying process and the usage process as well. But yep, let's see what the SEC thinks on it as well. Why not? All right, last couple of things here. We've got a little bit of a lithium update. This is coming from Reuters, which is saying that Australia's Core Lithium said today that the deadline to conclude a term sheet with Tesla as a part of a deal for lithium spodumene has passed without any agreement happening. So we had talked about this possible deal before. This would have been for 110,000 tons of lithium spodumene, but it looks like that is not happening, at least right now. So their CEO did say, quote, "I want to thank Tesla for the time taken to negotiate with Core and look forward to maintaining an open and ongoing dialogue," end quote. So it is interesting. We've talked about a few other of these lithium spodumene deals that Tesla has put together or has been discussing. Presumably, if there is no agreement here, Tesla is feeling good about their supply from other suppliers. All right, lastly then, also covered by Reuters here, apparently the Model Y for the month of September, in addition to being the top-selling vehicle in Germany for the month, was also the top-selling vehicle in the entirety of Europe. This is according to research by JATO Dynamics, and although usually you gotta consider that this is driven by the delivery wave, and that still is the case here, this is the first time that this has happened. So even with some other forcing factors leading to that, it is still a pretty cool milestone. Although hopefully in the future, we can extend that from being just a month to being the leading vehicle for a quarter, which would be much more meaningful. All right, that is where we'll wrap it up for today then. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, October 28th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.